It's just bewildering. Am Yisrael is led out of Mitzrayim with the most unimaginable of miracles. Moshe Rabbeinu, standing at the helm, orchestrates and facilitates the tearing of the very fabric of nature through the Ten Makot, splitting the sea. Ma'amad Har Sinai, the angels and HaKadosh Baruch Hu come down into this world. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up into heaven and comes back. Luchot, everything. And then there's the Eka, and Hashem is on Moshe's side. The Torah tells us explicitly that they had total conviction in Moshe Rabbeinu as their leader after all that they went through. Vayaminu Adonai v'Moshe Avdo. They believed in Moshe Rabbeinu. You would think that if somebody gets up there, some second-class Levi gets up there and decides that he should be the leader, he deserves to be in charge, without even blinking, people would just terminate the rebellion. And yet Korach comes with the audacity, the pure audacity to say, who are you, Moshe Rabbeinu? I should be the leader. I should be king. What was he thinking? Okay, he was very arrogant. But why did he think he would succeed in toppling the conviction in Moshe Rabbeinu that the entire nation had? And not only did he think that way, he succeeded. He got them to follow on. How does that happen? Ribono Shalom, it's bewildering, no? Korach knew a profound insight into the human psyche. He knew that human nature tends itself to cynicism. So what's best for me? If you just bide enough time, you just wait long enough, people will forget who you are and the good things that you've done for them. And then after enough time, he knew that just by waiting a little bit longer, Korach knew that he could start a rebellion and overthrow Moshe Rabbeinu. Human nature is all about, what have you done for me lately? That's the mantra that people use to lead their lives. And without constant, consistent, positive reinforcement of the good things that people have done for us, we tend to forget who they are and what we owe them in gratitude. That's how Korach was able to almost overthrow Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah.
So they say, what have you done for me lately? Even if Moshe's done nothing, they still saw all the miracles that Hashem did for Moshe.
Right.
And but they just ignored all that.
That's the question. How could they ignore it? There are so many midrashim about how they used to make fun of Moshe, and Moshe's trying to steal all our money and all of our land and all of this. Excuse me, this is Moshe. He's here for you. He took you out of Mitzrayim. For some reason, they were so blind.
His own brother and sister turned against him also.
Okay. His own brother and sister also. So how could it be? How could it be that people mess this up? So I heard this beautiful idea from Rav Chaim Jachter. Rabbi Jachter is a rabbi who wears many hats.
He's known here.
He's known here. Yeah. By you, but or by everybody else also.
I didn't know him. That's his Erev.
Okay. Yeah. Rabbi Jachter is a teacher.
He used to hang out here in his single days.
He used to hang out here in Roslyn in his single days. He runs, he administrates over 60 Eruvin in North America, including the one in Roslyn, among other places. So he spends his summers going and fixing and touring all the Eruvim, making sure they're up to date, all over the country. He's the rabbi of a Sephardic shul. He's Ashkenazi, but he's the rabbi of a Sephardic shul in Teaneck, New Jersey. And for the past 27 or so years, he has been a Mesader Gittin, a get administrator. He orchestrates Jewish divorce for the Beit Din of Elizabeth for the past 27 years. He's a Rebbe in TABC. Rabbi Jachter is a person who has been to more divorces than people will be to weddings in their lifetimes. 27 years, 3,500 gittin or more. I lost count. After seeing all of the pain that a couple can go through at the end of their marriage, Rabbi Jachter says, what happened with Korah can happen to everybody. If we don't nurture our marriages and we don't work on the positivity, then we forget what we're in this for. What have you done for me lately? A couple is dating, they're elated, they're in love, they get engaged, they get married. Whoa! We're eternally in love. Nothing will ever make us feel bad about each other. Nothing will ever get in the way of our love for each other. And then with enough time, they forget about what they're in this for. What are their goals? What did they see to be so outstanding in each other? What were the midot tovot that led them to totally commit their lives to each other forever? Because as time goes on, they forget these things, discord erupts, and things get harder. Unless there's constant, consistent, positive reinforcement of what are those good values, Rabbi Jachter says, it could very much end. Just like Korach was able to almost overthrow Moshe Rabbeinu, could very much end in a get as well. We find this idea of the cynicism that has to be combated, the downhill of cynicism, in a very peculiar Gemara in Berachot. The Gemara says how when a chatan and kala would get married after some time, the Gemara says that the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael would ask the chatan, Masa or Mosa, or to translate, Matza or Motza. Matza means did you find. Motza means do you find. Based on two pesukim said by Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei and Kohelet, Matza Isha, Matza Tov. You found a wife, you found good. Whereas Motza Ani, pay attention to the words, Matza, Motza Ani, Ra Mi Mavet Et HaIsha. I find the woman to be more bitter for me than death. They used to ask a chatan after he got married, so Matza or Motza? Was it good or was it bad? Was it a good idea to get married, or was it a terrible one to this woman? It's funny. It sounds like a crass joke that the guys make at the bar together after a long day. Haha, so how's life? Married life? Bitter to death? The page of the Gemara is a very holy thing. The Chachamim don't fill it with crass jokes about marriage. There has to be something more to this story than just a cute joke that you make to your buddies at the bar. The Vilna Gaon says, pay attention to the words. Matza is Lashon Avar, it's past tense. Motza is Lashon Hoveh, it's the present. Matza Tov, in the past you found Tov, but in the present you find bad. When something is good, it's only good for so long. And then we forget about it, it gets old. But when something hurts, you have a splinter, a thorn in your finger, it's not going to get old. It's going to keep hurting no matter what. And you're going to keep on complaining about it. They were telling the chatan, it wasn't a joke. They were telling the new chatan, if you want your marriage to be a good marriage, if you think it is right now, you want it to stay one, don't let it be matzah tov. Don't let it only be tov in the past. Keep it tov right now also. Always keep in mind, what are those good values that you have that you find in each other that brought you together. And that recognition is what we use to get rid of Korach and what we use to bolster our marriages. And in fact, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us as well. There's a mitzvah in the Torah to emulate the Ribono Shel Olam. We have to be like Hashem. Just like He is merciful, we are merciful, and etc., etc. Yirmiyahu HaNavi tells us, Hashem, Ko Amar Hashem, Zacharti Lach Eser Ne'urayich, Ahavai Kilo Atayich, Lechech Acharei Be'midbar, Be'eretz Lo Zirah. Yirmiyahu tells a Jewish nation that's about to be told that if they don't shape up, there will be a Churban HaBayit. Tisha B'Av is coming, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. If you don't shape up, I'm going to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. But I remember you. I remember when we were dating, when we were in the Midbar. And when we came to this land together, this desolate land, and we built it up together. Zacharti lachesed ni'urayich, ahavati lotayich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps in mind the reason why He married us. We have to keep in mind the reason why we married our spouses. And that positivity is what keeps us in a constant state of tov. Shabbat shalom, when it comes. Shabbat shalom.